We spoke recently about several cities in far northern California seeking designation for parts of town as cultural districts under a program set up by the California Arts Council, a state agency. The council recently made its announcement of the final districts scattered all over the state, and both Eureka and Redding made the list. So now, what do they do with the cultural district designation? Let's find out from each city and from the California Arts Council. Don Harris is the chair of the Arts Council, joins us by phone. Thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Deb Lucero is back with us. She is the executive director of the Shasta Arts Council, which has overseen the entry of Redding into the competition, I guess it is. Hi, Deb. Good to see you again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And we would been seeking Charlotte McDonald from Eureka Main Street, the executive director there. Charlotte, have you joined us?
Yes, I did. Good morning, Don.
Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning.
Good to have you all here. So, Don, let's start with you. What exactly is the cultural district as seen by the California Arts Council?
Well, it's certainly something new to us, but they've had it in some other states around the country. And basically, a community is asked to pull together what they believe are their assets, their cultural assets, into some kind of coherent whole, and it's very different in every particular location. So you have an urban, which is very concentrated. You might have a rural that's more spread out, but it's meant to have a coherent purpose to the artwork and the creativity within that district. And we go through a rigorous set of standards, and a team went out there to review it and went ahead and made the designation twice for you guys up north.
So this is the first time that this set of designations has been placed, is that right?
That's correct. So other states have had them, not many, I think about a dozen or so, but California jumped on the bandwagon of that, and we're going to do it our own way.
All right. And is the state divided up into regions? I mean, does each region have its own city with a designated cultural district?
You know, we do have regions that we use for various reasons. In this case, we looked at geographic diversity, but we also looked at the quality of the program. So we did not do any kind of regional picking this time. So we just went surely on the quality.
Okay, we'll talk about what the qualities are in just a moment. Let's hear first about what's in each of these districts. Charlotte McDonald, you're joining us for the first time to talk about Eureka Main Street and the things that got you your cultural district designation there. What are some of the things within that district?
One of the most important things is the tireless efforts that our community has been doing since probably around 1992, when Eureka Main Street was designated a California Main Street demonstration city. So we've been using arts and culture as a catalyst for revitalization when the city still was receiving redevelopment monies, and we partnered with the Ink People Center for the Arts on a lot of things, and we're umbrellaed under the city of Eureka. So the three of us have had an unofficial cultural arts designation since 1992, and we've created live work lofts as well as recognized the value of local arts, local artists. We did a mural bureau with Youth at Risk program. It's just we've had a lot of different things. We support the arts in every way possible because music and food and culture and visual arts are just so important. It sets us apart from other communities around the area.
And Charlotte, is that district busy all the time? I mean, is it busy on evenings? Is it busy on weekends? I mean, when do people tend to flock to the district?
Well, because we have an urban density, we have a 49 block area. We're the largest urban main street in California. To give you an idea, Berkeley has 35 blocks. We have 59. So we have a pretty dense concentration. So we have a daytime activity with all the government offices and the lawyers and professional offices. Then we have an evening crowd because there are still younger people that like to go out. We're actually reviving our nightlife. And then the weekends are a different beast themselves because we have tourism for like 9 of the 12 months of the year. So on the weekends we see an influx of tourists that will come in. I don't mean an influx like you might think with Ashland or or even with Reading, but we have a diverse use of our community, so that makes it an even broader spectrum of people that can appreciate the arts. And because we do it at a local level, like with our Arts Alive, we started to get the community to embrace and not be afraid of art. That way, when they went to museums or they went to art galleries in real urban settings, they knew that art was a tangible, and it wasn't something that, you know, only the rich or only the super educated, and not that that sounds condescending, and I don't mean it that way.
But you mean art for everyone is the big thing.
But yeah. It is. That art is for everyone, and it starts at the school-age child.
So, Deb Lucero, let's come back to you in Reading and talk about the Reading Cultural District and what makes it a cultural district. What are some of the features?
Well, the idea behind establishing this district was to tie the world-class assets at the River Bend, at the Sacramento River Bend, which includes the Sundial Bridge, which was designed by Calatrava. It's a glass pedestrian walkway that many people are familiar with. And along with that is a 300-acre arboretum, botanical gardens, and we have about 68 public art sites within that space, as well as in the downtown area. We have a couple of the public art sites there. So what we wanted to do was tie those world-class assets and create two distinct and walkable areas connected by a green loop and pedestrian bridges, the Sundial Bridge and the Dieselhorst Bridge, which is has just been restored as a walking bridge across the Sacramento, and it's a very historic bridge. So these two areas compose the Reading Cultural District. They include the downtown, which is more the urban experience with a variety of arts, culture, history, food, and entertainment. And then we have the Sundial Bridge area, the Sundial area, which has the nature, public art, world-class trails, Turtle Bay, McConnell Arboretum, and Botanical Gardens. We have the Reading Civic Auditorium, the Rodeo Grounds, Riverfront Park, Caldwell and Lake Reading Parks, and the Dieselhorst Landing. So we really combine nature with art and with the museum experience. And then in our downtown, we have, of course, the Cascade Theater, which is kind of the jewel in our downtown. And you're very familiar with that, I'm sure.
Yes. It was a project that JPR and Southern Oregon University put together with the folks in Reading about 20 years ago now.
Yeah.
Actually, a little more than 20 years ago.
Yes. So we have an enormous number of people interested in this, very diverse, including artists, smaller arts organizations, public health organizations, Caltrans. We have really worked together to bring all of these people into an understanding of how arts and culture can actually develop a city or a small area with arts and cultural concepts. And that wasn't really on the table before. So this designation created an umbrella to bring all these diverse groups together, and so it's been fabulous for Reading.
We are talking about the designation of cultural districts, arts districts, in both Eureka and Reading as part of the designation of cultural districts around the state of California. Deb Lucero is with the Shasta Arts Council. She's the executive director. That is the spear point of the effort to get the district named in Reading. Charlotte McDonald is with Eureka Main Street. She's the executive director working in Eureka, obviously. Don Harris is the chair of the California Arts Council, and you can join this conversation at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Maybe you have stories to share about your visits to the cultural districts in either of these cities, or the process of getting them named so at the state level. Join us at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Don Harris at the California Arts Council, you were talking about the qualities that you were looking for, and just in the descriptions that Deb and Charlotte have provided, these sound like very different districts or with very different amenities anyway. Given that, what kinds of basics did you need to see to consider as these cities moved forward into the process?
Right. We had an interesting time defining, you know, many parts of this because of California being so diverse in so many ways. What we looked for first were community involvement across the board, whether it be local government, business, the artists themselves. So grassroots effort, governmental effort. We really wanted to see a coalition of people coming together so that it was truly everybody's arts district. So I would say that was probably the number one quality. Then the coherence of if you were to write a mission statement about your cultural district, what would that be kind of question? What's your purpose? What's the coherence of all the different things that you bring together there? And, you know, that's a challenge sometimes because even within a given district, it may be very diverse, and people are looking for that sense of purpose. And when you can find it from a diverse giving like this, you can find something, some synergy. I think it's really special for the community. And I think, as Deborah said, when you create this umbrella and things come under it, suddenly that identity strengthens and just intensifies. And that's what we wanted to see. We wanted to see a real identity, and in some cases across maybe not so much of a well-defined geographic area, because that might leave some folks out. You might have rural areas that have something stretch along a much longer distance.
Given that this was the first time you announced the cultural districts, and there are 14 of them altogether, I mean, did you have an actual checklist of like, you know, yep, they got this, they got this, they got this, or was it a little more fluid than that?
It was sort of about halfway there. There was definitely a checklist with guidelines and qualities that we were looking for, but there was also a chance for people to tell their story, because the arts have that ability to go beyond the checklist, and we wanted to make sure we captured that. So there was the narrative portion, but there was also mostly about the community, though. We wanted to make sure that every sector of the communities were involved. And the ones that were successful really showed that.
Charlotte McDonald, what was it like when the folks in the California Arts Council came to look at the cultural district, what became the Eureka Cultural Arts District?
Well, actually, I'm going to let Swan Asbury, who's the planner for the city of Eureka, speak to that, because unfortunately I did a lot of the legwork with them, but I was out of town that day.
Oh, okay.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. The site visit was wonderful. It brought together a lot of people from our community that you wouldn't realize would be coming. You know, the chief of police was interested, and the city manager was there, and our mayor was there, and we just were so proud to show everything that's in our community. It's really, it's all existing, and it was just, it was nice to show off everything, and it was hard to squeeze it into such a short time. You know, it was just...
What day of the week was it, Swan?
You. I'm sorry?
What day of the week was it?
It was May 31st. I think it was a Wednesday.
Okay. So it wasn't a weekend or something. So did you have to roll out some special stuff just to kind of put on a showcase for the California Arts Council?
Well, we tried to have a band playing to surprise them. Mm-hmm. You know, little things here and there. We have a kinetic sculpture race here, and so we wanted some of our sculptures available for them.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that, just showing them who we are, and our, especially our Blue Ox Millworks. We have this phenomenal, I don't even know how to describe it. It's this Victorian school that shows how to do like redwood gutters, and they were able to go there and see it. Our boundary is a little bit wiggly because we really wanted to include the Blue Ox Millworks.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, wiggly in both cities, it sounds like. Deb Lucera, what was visit day like for you?
Well, we were just hoping it wouldn't be over 100 degrees, which the weather actually worked for us that day. I was concerned about the heat. And we are an emerging district, so the idea of being able to bike this or use pedestrian walkways is very important to the district. We recognize how the world is changing and how tourism is changing. And the younger generation is very much into a more holistic approach to things. So the idea that they can bike the district or walk the district is very appealing and be in two very separate, distinct places. So I think that both Josie Miller and Jason Zhang, who came and did this site visit, were very impressed. At first, you know, there was a lot of apprehension about how large the district was. And I can understand that when you look at the map and you see this huge, big blue ribbon running through it, which literally the Sacramento River cuts through our city. And we like to say you have to cross the river twice to get to downtown.
Right.
And it's that kind of city. So there's challenges that way, and but we were able to successfully make the case that we were really trying to tie these multi-million dollar assets with the museum and the bridge and the botanical gardens and all of the public art in that space to our downtown, which we see as emerging. We have some live-work spaces. We received one of the largest grants in the state of California, a $20 million grant to create affordable housing, live-work space, and open our street back up. Because if you'll remember, in the 70s, our founding fathers, someone got an idea to put a roof over Main Street, and they tore down 40 historic buildings. So it was, luckily, the Cascade was not one of them, and there are... several really incredibly beautiful buildings, but we saw this effort as a way to rebuild our downtown. Another thing that affected us was the fact that our civic operations, like the police, and not fire, but police, our library and our civic center, our city hall, moved out of the downtown central core. So when you have those types of amenities moving out of a downtown, you really have to look to other things to make something beautiful happen, and that's just what we've done. And luckily, the McConnell Foundation has come along and made a 10-year commitment to downtown to assist in not only with the development and with philanthropy, but also just helping to guide some of the larger projects that are literally on the books.
So in Eureka, for either Charlotte or Swan, whoever has the phone at the moment, how does the cultural district help do what Reading is doing, which is to sort of include this as a drive toward a revitalization of downtown?
Well, you know, we have, instead of having a river, we have 6 lanes of roadway that divide us.
There's your blue ribbon.
with the designation, what's really awesome is now we have the opportunity to reach out to Blue Ox Millworks, and we have people that have been making big contributions, nothing like $20 million for housing, and I think that's so awesome. And I have to say, Deborah, I've always loved following the progression of Reading, and the best thing that ever happened was when you did take the roof off of your Main Street. No, seriously, and we were at the Cascade when we were redoing our Arkley Center for the Performing Arts. So I know what a spectacular job that is, and pretty much we're pretty much on the same lines as what Deborah's talking, except that we've had 25 years of experience pulling all of our assets together. We've become a destination. When John Villani was publishing books, we were the number one best small art town, and we just capitalized on that. And today, people still refer to us as the best small art town. And as people see the successes that we're doing, it will definitely help us to get more infusion of private sector monies. We've never gone out for big grants before, but I know that with our cultural arts designation and the fact that we're an accredited National Main Street program, and there's only about 850 of us nationwide, those things will really, I think, catapult us, because right now we have we are a resource-based economy even today, and of course, you know, the number one resource now for us in California, and especially over here, is green. So it's really nice to have visible, tangible things that people can come and enjoy, and not just reap, and no pun intended, reap the benefits of what our natural resources are, because in my opinion, arts are a natural resource. And we're really fortunate. You guys mentioned our Victorians are, you know, refurbished. Well, when there was that whole let's get rid of downtowns, there wasn't enough money going around by the time they came up our direction. So a lot of our Victorians are restored and still standing because our forefathers in the 60s and the 70s didn't have the financial ability to put facades on and tear down buildings for pretty structures.
So lack of money actually helped, is what you're saying?
Yes. Oh, it definitely helped, very definitely. And we have a very active historic preservation organization, Eureka Heritage Society, and they created a book of our assets, so it's awesome.
So let me point out to our listeners that we are talking about cultural district designation for both Reading and for Eureka, the Eureka Cultural Arts District and the Reading Cultural District, which are 2 of 14 across the state, which include places like Little Tokyo and Los Angeles, and I love this one, the Rotten City Emeryville Cultural Arts District in Emeryville, San Pedro Waterfront Arts Cultural Entertainment District in San Pedro near Los Angeles. So a big question for you, Don Harris, as the chair of the California Arts Council, are these ongoing designations, or is this something that comes up for renewal in 2 years, 6 years, something like that? Don Harris, are you still there? Looks like Don Harris had to leave us. All right, so,
well, I can answer that. I can answer that, Jeffrey. So this is a pilot program, 2-year pilot program, and the designation that we received is for 5 years. So So the nomination process to create another cultural district in another part of the state or in another city will come up again in 2019. So there will be opportunities for, there were 43 communities that first applied to be cultural districts, and that was culled down to 22 and then finally to 14. So there will be another open round in 2019.
And can the cities that are currently named enter again?
Yes, you can. You can become recertified. So what we're doing as the pilot project is we're helping the state come up with what does that recertification process look like? What is this next 2 years going to look like? How did we move through the process so that we can inform the state and they can better roll out this process throughout the state? Many states, some states have as many, like in Louisiana, they use this idea to revitalize Louisiana, particularly after Katrina. So I think they have 76 cultural districts in Louisiana. California is a huge state, so I don't know how many we'll end up with, but I think it's a great tool to use arts and culture to redevelop and to improve urban areas as well as rural and suburban areas.
And is there any sort of grant or access to loans or any money that comes with this?
There
is nominal.
$5,000. There's a $5,000 stipend to start right now for the next two. Is it 2 years or 5 years, Deborah?
We get for the first 2 years we get $5,000 a year, and that's primarily to report back to the California Arts Council as to what has been our process during that year. But the real value is through the Visit California website, which is one of the main tourism websites. I mean, it's one of the most visited in the world.
All right, so it directs
people. And we will have our own portal.
Okay, so it directs people to those districts. And the districts we're talking about are the Redding Cultural District and the Eureka Cultural Arts District. We've been talking to Don Harris, the chair of the California Arts Council, Deb Lucero at the Shasta Arts Council, Charlotte McDonald at Main Street Eureka, and stepping in at the last minute, Swan Asbury, an assistant planner for the city of Eureka. Good to have you all here today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
Thank
it's been
you.
Great.